Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
Stuttering, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, you know, the whole deal, trying to get this show on the road. So you ready to talk some fun Disney?
Yeah, we're right in the midst of the Big D 23 Expo out in California, and we're recording on day three of the event, so we have lots of news to talk about that was released over this weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. A little short story, I finally got to take my dog out. Don't tell him. His hair's grown in a little bit. I'm not afraid to take him out no more. Nah, but all's good on the front, the home front. And I was watching all this stuff all weekend. It's kind of overwhelming. I mean, we knew all this was coming, but you didn't know exactly what was coming out.
Yeah, I mean, just for kind of an overview from my perspective, I don't think there was anything that was shocking or surprising or totally, you know, unexpected, like you said. So nice to get some more detail and see some more, you know, artwork and artist renderings and models and little short snippets of films and stuff like that. But, you know, this is the not semi-annual, but every two-year snapshot of the Disney company and all of its different
glory of everything coming out.
Time to taunt their stuff, if you will. So all us Disney geeks eat this stuff right up.
It's basically their State of the Union every 2 years.
Exactly.
They do it every 2 years instead of every year like the president does.
Exactly.
But the one thing I'll say, and we'll get into it as we go along in the news, the one thing that I was shocked about is that, and I'm happy about it because you know what a fan I am of Toy Story. Mm-hmm. But I'm just shocked it's Toy Story Land because everybody thought it was going to be like a Pixar place.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction to it. I mean, obviously Toy Story is a beloved franchise.
It's iconic to me.
Yeah, it's very successful and you know, it's probably one of, you know, if not the... I would say it's Pixar's crown jewel in its stable of movies. But you're right. I thought they would spread it out and use, use all of the films to build this, what we were always calling, Pixar Land or Pixar Place or whatever we were calling it. But it looks like they're going in a different direction and they're going to be adding two each ticket attractions to this Toy Story Land over at the studios.
Oh, I am like, we might as well just continue on this since I opened up the can of worms, but I am so stoked about it. And I understand, they're going, it looks like a theme because like they did Cars Land out in California. So remember Lou was hoping that wasn't going to come here, so I guess he was happy about that.
Yeah, I suspect he knew.
Yeah, me too, but you know. But the point of it is I think he's happy about that when it's all said and done. But I think maybe they're saving each franchise for different lands now, the way it seems. Cars Land, now you have Toy Story Land, maybe over in Japan because Big Hero 6, like, super big over there. Maybe they'll do something with that if that franchise can. It looks like they're trying to save the franchises instead of using them all at once with the theme, the way they're going.
I mean, yeah, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, the people are on both sides of the issue. You know, like when, let's just take Soaring, for example, you know, a lot of, you know, people love that attraction and they were so happy when it came to Walt Disney World. But then you got the other people that say, well, Disney's not doing anything original. They're just, you know, reproducing the same attraction and putting it in multiple parks. So I kind of get it. I like the fact that these two attractions that they announced yesterday, which one is a a Slinky the Dog themed roller coaster, and the other one is little green men flying saucers of some sort.
Yeah, it's the Martians, the little aliens that they have. They're awesome. They're funny.
Right, but the you know, these two attractions are will be unique to you know, Florida and Walt Disney World and the in the studios specifically. So you can't see you won't be able to see these out in California or any of the other parks around the world, at least as far as we know right now. So that'll be cool having something in, you know, Walt Disney World, our home park, if you will, that's unique.
Absolutely, and the thing, I wanted Cars Land here because I'm more of a Cars Land fan, Cars fan than you are, I would say. I know you like the movie, but I love that movie. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it here just because how much I wanted to see the whole Cars Land, because I don't, you know, me and you don't get out to California, like, you know, we aren't big shots like Lou.
Right.
Go out there every year. But the point of it is we do kind of have the main attraction here in Test Track. It's pretty much the same, so I would have liked to have had it here, but I could deal with not. But I'm very happy that we're going to get something unique and new, and I can't wait to ride the Slinky roller coaster. It looks pretty wild. The whole land, I can't wait to see it develop under our eyes, if you follow me.
Yeah,
in front of our eyes.
Yeah, if you saw the artist rendering, kind of the you know, the topical view of what the land will look like. I mean, it's all those familiar reds and yellows and greens from the Toy Story franchise. So yeah, it's going to be pretty cool looking when it's all said and done. You know.
I'm sorry. And the thing that I do love about Toy Story, and I think you'll agree with me on this, the great thing about Toy Story Land will be is it'll be great for families of all ages, because there's something that everybody will remember from Toy Story, from little kids all the way up to grandparents with the different toys. So I think it's a very immersive kind of land that could include everybody, like I always say about Toy Story the Ride.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's the three films, and that's another thing we'll touch on later. They did announce that Toy Story 4 is happening and will happen, so we may even get some new stuff. I know I saw a couple of pictures. There's new toys and different things that are going to be in this fourth film, so I'm sure some of this stuff will be integrated into Toy Story Land as well.
Absolutely, and I'm really excited about it because it brings back so many good memories. Now we also hear that this is actually going in the back lot area. It's going to be 11 acres, and it's going to be in the back lot area, plus also areas that have never been used in the studios before, behind the scenes they're building back into.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were thinking back lot, and, well, when we get to some of our other news, there's going to need to be room for other stuff that's going on there. But, yeah, like you said, 11 acres, and it's basically going to be Andy's backyard, and you'll be shrunk down to the size of Woody and Buzz. There'll be oversized toys. You know, I immediately think of, you know, all-star movies and sports, the big, you know, iconic figures.
Big
that
wheels
they have
and
there.
All that stuff.
Yeah, even Pop Century a little bit, for that matter. But, yeah, I mean, you know, this sounds like it's going to be quite the place when it's done.
Oh, I can't wait. I was happy to hear about it. I mean, the studios are going to go from last to first, I think, when everything is done.
Yeah.
Or very close to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Disney obviously knows what all us in the Disney community have been saying for years, that the studios has been a shell of itself, and it's been really sad that it's, you know, kind of deteriorated to where it is today, but they've recognized that, and they're going to make that right. So, one of the interesting things that I picked up on, you know, listening to the panels over the weekend and following social media, the one thing they did not do for most of these major attractions, they put no time frame whatsoever on them, which I thought was interesting, because if you remember when they did Mine Train and New Fantasyland, there were specific dates, you know, maybe not to the day, but certainly the month and the year that, you know, they said, you know, expect it to open here. And yesterday, unless you heard something, I heard nothing of the sort as to when construction's going to start and when they expect this to be done. So, you know, we still be maybe 4 or 5 years out before any of this actually comes to be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, announcements of due dates, start dates, end dates, anything like that. I don't think it'll be 4 years before any of this is started, but I don't think it'll be right around the corner either, because of all the renderings and the stuff we see, it's ridiculous. Especially when we get into, you know, we're going to get into the Star Wars thing and all that during this show, and it's going to take a while for all this stuff to get done.
Right, and it, I can't remember specifically what it was, but if you I'm pretty sure that this happened when the renderings for New Fantasyland came out. You know, there was an attraction or two or a land or some sort of other thing that was supposed to happen that never happened. So, I mean, this stuff is, you know, kind of fluid. I mean, I think they have an idea of, you know, the core of it, if you will. But, you know, don't be surprised if there's some adds or deletes from this as this kind of unfolds.
Well, when we get into Star Wars Land, we'll go back and forth with that. But I honestly think that the Toy Story Land, because of all the specifics, I think is pretty much, I think those two rides and the way everything's going to be set up is pretty much etched in stone. I think they could add something or change some dining options or add stuff like that. But I think the layout's pretty much done for that. I think Star Wars Land is still a work in, I think it's still a work in motion, if you follow, work in progress.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's just so much. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was a lot more vague as far as, you know, what the attractions might be than the Toy Story Land. But yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait, my man. What's next? Go ahead. We jumped into that real quick, but I can't wait to be riding on Slinky Dog.
Yeah, yeah, that looks pretty cool. Well, let's see here. New Chase Disney Visa card gives feature classic Star Wars characters an Imperial meet and greet experience. So this is something that is kind of going to be paired up with the launch of the new Star Wars movie. This is going to be called the Star Wars Launch Bay, and basically with working with the credit card company, they're going to, you know, kind of let you see what some of the new characters might be in the new movie, and, you know, see set pieces and kind of get familiar with the you know, the new movie that's forthcoming. So this is going to happen somewhat, you know, sooner than later. This isn't a major attraction or anything like that, but something more Star Wars for the major things that will be happening in the coming years.
Yeah, plus you could supposedly get Darth Vader, C-3PO, and R2-D2 on your credit card now.
Yes, yes. So
yeah, so I set it off the air. May the charge be with you.
Yeah, right. Anyway,
when you hand it to them, do you go, bloop, 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 bloop?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Also, Season of the Force, seasonal event to debut at the studios early in 2016. This will be a new fireworks show. It'll be part of the Season of the Force event. So again, little by little, they're adding more Star Wars-themed offerings to the studio. So you're going to, I guess, have a battle between all the new Frozen stuff that, well, a lot of that stuff was temporary, though. So it will,
summer.
Yeah.
The Frozen fireworks for the summer, but the Frozen ones, I have a funny feeling that might last until this takes over.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's widely popular, so it probably will. But again, as the studio ramps up towards this transformation with the Toy Story Land and the Star Wars stuff that we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to see it slowly change its, you know, theme, if you will. Yeah. Although I'll mention here, and again, another thing that I did find somewhat interesting is they did not announce a name change.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was saying the same thing. Everything seen this 10 torch. They were specifically making a point to keep calling it Hollywood Studios. I noticed that, too.
Right, right. The woman that spoke about the studios, and I forget her name, but how did she put it? They were going to transform you from, you know, seeing what the movies look like to putting you in the movies or something. So they kind
of, behind the scenes of the movies, yeah, to in the movie.
Yeah, something to that effect. So, yeah, she kind of danced around, you know, what the theme would be going forward, but they didn't directly say that there would be a name change, and maybe there won't be in the long run. Who knows?
I hope there's not, and I've been on that ship for a long time. I like it the way it is. I'm going to draft the gas station in the front just so I can keep my tow truck.
Okay.
You know, I'm just saying, I don't want the whole, I love the entrance of Hollywood Studios. I really don't want that to change, do you?
No, I mean, it's been like that, you know, with the exception of the hat being there for 10, 12 years, whatever it was. But I mean, yeah, that's the studios I know, and I'd love it to stay. But, you know, I got to believe with all the work they put into the trolley car cafe and some of the new facades,
yeah,
as well as all them buildings. I mean, I couldn't see them, or I can't see them changing it. But
and they're so beautiful, 50s prime time. I can't see them getting rid of that. So I honestly hope they keep the whole front area, Rock and Roller Coaster, the Tower of Terror, and they're putting in that new stage over there. So I'm hoping that they're going to keep the front end working properly while they're redoing the back end of the place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you just said, there are some, you know, very popular attractions there you just mentioned. And, you know, the show must go on, and the park needs to stay open and offer what it has to offer to guests. So, yeah, I mean, it's still got to function as, you know, one of the big four parks down there. And I would expect, you know, that part of the park, the main drag there, as well as Sunset Boulevard and everything down there, to pretty much stay the same during all this construction.
Absolutely. I think that's the other reason why they did the quick refurb of the Great Movie Ride. I think now we're understanding more. I think now maybe the hat was moved even more just for flow and crowds. Because if you're blocking off both sides as you're doing Star Wars on the other, you know, that's why they put something there, to keep stuff going on. Why half?
You know, it's a half day, whether you do the thrill rides or not. So, you know, nothing will really in the immediate future. It's the same, except for the sections of the park that you can access now that you won't be able to. Particularly the, you know, the motion again. Although they didn't say specifically that was going away, I assume it is as part of this whole thing. But again, they weren't really specific about the exact footprint of any of this, other than the back lot for Toy Story Land.
Yeah, they said the back lot and then the backstage area all over behind where the original Toy Story is now. And the way I'm getting that is there's going to be a new entrance for the Toy Story Way Mania now.
Okay.
They're changing that out too, from what I read and understood. Right now they're adding the third ride, which I'm happy about that, because it'll free up crowds, especially if this park gets all the new enhancements and all the new rides. Can you imagine how crowded it's going to be then?
Oh, it'll be terrible. Yeah, the third track, that was another thing that, again, we had heard. Actually, they had announced it, but they just confirmed it, that they're going to be adding a third track to the existing Toy Story attraction.
So I'm wondering what's going on. Like, apparently, like, Ariel and all that, like, Under the Seas there and all those rides will probably still be open under construction. Because it didn't say that Toy Story is closing down. They're just adding the third track.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you think about it, if you're standing in front of exactly where the hat used to be, if you look over to the right towards Ariel, you have that big archway that used to say MGM Studios or whatever. Might use that archway, and that'll be the entrance, or the main park entrance, into this Toy Story Land. That'd be my guess.
Absolutely. I just think they're... But I wonder why... Wonder why the Art of Animation had to close down during this. I mean, because I would think that they'd want that area open to keep guests occupied while things are going on. I wonder if they're doing something with that building, or if they're using that building maybe to base the construction in. You understand what I'm saying? Like something like that.
Yeah, it's hard to say. If you look at the artist rendering, not knowing, you know, where the 11 acres actually starts and ends. I mean, eventually that may be a show building for a Toy Story attraction, or a restaurant or retail.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or they may demo it and build something new there. But you're right, it will be. They still need to keep some attractions open during construction, so it'll be interesting to see how they kind of stage this and how they keep the park running and keep as many attractions open as possible, but still put all this new stuff in.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're keeping Toy Story, they're keeping Ariel, they're keeping all that stuff there, then all of a sudden it comes out that the animation's closing. So what makes me believe is, from that animation building back and all the way around behind, if you, and they're heading back towards the back lot is where they're going to take off. So I think they need that building to start. Maybe that's where they're going to block everybody off. That's the beginning of it, is what my feelings are. That has something to do with the expansion.
Right. So, well, we shall see.
Next piece, brother.
Yeah, next piece, we'll pop over to the Animal Kingdom.
Yay!
Yeah, your favorite park, and we finally have a name for the Avatar Land, which is no longer, we will no longer call it Avatar Land, because they officially named it Pandora, the World of Avatar, is what this land will be at the Animal Kingdom. And Joe Rohde and I forget the guy's name, what is it, Cameron,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah, James Cameron.
They did a presentation about this, and again, a little more artwork. They had a short snippet. They talked about the rides, but the thing that was really neat about it is to see how excited Joe Rohde was explaining this world of Avatar and Pandora, and you know, just you could just see it in his expression and how he talked about it, how excited he was that this would be a fully immersive land, and whether or not you go on the attractions or not, just walking around it is going to be cool in itself. And
the sidewalks lighting up in areas and stuff like that.
Yeah, your footprints stay there for a few seconds after you walk by, and luminescence, and just it was just fun to watch him explain this whole thing. A little disappointed in the presentation, not in how they presented it, but they didn't really show too much more than we already saw, other than the large scale model that has the big blue planet in the back, which I'm interested to see as in order of scale what that's going to look like. Like, I immediately just think to the Spaceship Earth, the over at Epcot. You know, is this half the size of that, a quarter, as big, not as big? You know what I mean? I'm sure you've seen the model, and it kind of sets way in the back of the whole, Avatar Land or Pandora. So anyways, it will be interesting to me, because if you've seen the latest
renderings,
not the renderings, but the overhead shots of the the construction of Pandora, you don't see a sphere or a ball like that planet. So I'm just curious to see how that's going to actually look, when we get to see what it's going to look like. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see any metal construction, or maybe they just haven't started on that piece yet. But like I said, in order of magnitude, I'm just curious to how large that planet's going to be.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know how big they can make it. I don't know if they want it bigger than the Tree of Life, if you follow me, to take focus away from that, like, as you're coming to the park. You know, does it need two weenies, as you like to call it?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And like I said, I was somewhat disappointed. I thought we might get I think they might have showed a small snippet. I saw so much stuff this weekend, it's all kind of blurry, but of the Banshee ride.
It was like a video. It was more TGI, RGI, like how they do the computer generated.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was cool, and what I got excited about is Cameron and Rohde both going off saying, you thought Soarin' made you feel like you were flying. Like, wait till you get on this. There's never been anything even close to this. So they're, like, putting their neck out there saying how awesome this simulator is going to be, and it has me geeked out. The thing that has me geeked out about the whole model is that when you see the little bridge, the existing bridge that used to lead you into Camp Minnie Mickey, mm-hmm. How that leads into Pandora, and trying to walk my way through it now. Like, I'm imagining my first entrance into Pandora. I just can't wait, because it's right around the corner. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, 2016, right? So next year, at some point, we're going to get in this place and be able to see it. And, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you saw that Joe Rohde was taking pictures with guests, and they had the, Naves, whatever the blue people are called, mm-hmm. there. They had, like, a... you know, like a statue or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
I can't wait to see. I mean, the thing with Avatar Land is there's going to be so much discovery there. I mean, like, they're telling you what's coming, but there's so many things that are secret. Like, I'm looking forward to see what kind of restaurants are over there and all the landscaping. And I think this land is going to be more, the whole land is going to be like an attraction, if you ask me. Just discovering everything in the land, like I talk about with the Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, and that's why it fits so well there in the Animal Kingdom. I mean, that's one of the things that Joe Rohde talked about, that they're being so painstaking, specific to how they make the rocks and the trees and the vines and the pathways and everything, because he said this is going to be a place where you might want to spend an hour just looking at all of the all of the world around you. And how did he say it? He says it needs to withstand the scrutiny of somebody looking at it for an hour. So they're not just, you know, throwing some plaster around and painting it brown and calling it a rock, which Disney never does anyways, but they're really going all out on this so that it's going to be a flawless land that is going to be just beautiful.
I mean, it's just like, I look at the renderings, I'm looking at the pictures, and even though you see it, is because it's so much, there's so much foliage, so much landscaping, so much going on, that no matter how many pictures you see, it won't do it justice until you're actually walking. Like with Fantasyland, because everything was basically buildings, and you could actually see what you were getting ready to go into. Even when you know, when they started to put the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, like, you had an idea of what it was going to be. With this, you have no idea what you're going to find until you get there, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we see the building, and we assume the big buildings where the Banshee ride is going to go. But, I mean, we don't know about all these other little offshoots and pathways and, like you said, the green space and all of the foliage. I mean, you know, there's going to be restaurants and shops. I'm sure there'll be some sort of, you know, show or musical show or street performance. You know, who knows?
Exactly.
It's going to be an immersive land, so there's going to be all that stuff that we've come to expect in a Disney park, only it's going to be, you know, themed around Avatar. But it's not just, you know, we all focus on the ticket attractions, which, you know, is fine and it's expected. But I think that not that they're going to be minor, but I think they're just going to be a small piece of the overall, you know, feel you're going to get when you enter this land.
I mean, just wrap your head around this right now. I mean, I'm going to geek out. I know we call them Star Wars geeks, and I'm a Disney geek, and we're all geeks when it all said and done. But right. Just wrap your head around your mind around Star Wars Land, Avatar Land, and Toy Story Land all coming out. I mean, they're three major franchises. I mean, the undertaking of this is insane.
I almost tweeted it out yesterday. Yes, I totally agree with everything you just said, but I almost tweeted it out yesterday, but I didn't want to be as smart, you know what. But
since
I almost
when?
Said, yeah, I almost tweeted out and said, doesn't Harry Potter seem very insignificant now? But remember 18 months ago how everybody was trashing Disney and, oh, Universal's, you know, they're killing Disney and they're so far ahead and they got better technology and, you know, we've talked about...
Well, to even get their technology, they had to steal half of Disney's employees.
Right.
I'm kidding, but you know.
But you just remember what the atmosphere was on social media and, oh, Harry Potter. I mean, again, I'm not a Harry Potter fan, so for those out there that are, I'm not,
no,
you know, raining on your parade. But I just remember the attitude of, oh, you know, like the Universal people or, you know, people that favor
up.
That. Right. Now Disney is totally blowing them out of the water, which they always will for the reasons you always say, Doug. They got more land, they got more money, and they have more resources and franchises.
Well,
for that
yeah,
matter.
The first two, I 100% agree with you. They got more land and they have more resources. The Roberts family that owns Universal and Comcast and all, they're worth a gazillion dollars too. The problem is they got landlocked. I mean, they don't have 25 acres to build anything.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm not being smart. Like, they're slowly building hotels. If you watch, with me being a TA, I have to pay attention over there. They got a couple more hotels going up, and they're slowly, the way it's looking, they're trying to buy other things. Kind of like Disney just announced that they're buying more property across from Disneyland.
Right, right.
You know, they're trying. Disneyland is basically Universal. I mean, not the same, but they're in the same situation.
Right.
Where they're
right.
out they of real estate. They're trying to pick and claw and choose and trying to buy the Howard Johnsons and that Acme parking lot across the street or what you called Food Line or Piggly Wiggly or, you know, they're trying
right.
to buy whatever they can to compete. Right. And Disney World don't have that problem.
No, no. I mean, as we know, it's the size of Manhattan, roughly, and, you know, they have all the room they want to do whatever they want. So, you know, who knows? Years from now, I'm sure there'll be additional parks and God only knows what else down there. But yeah, just to kind of bring back my point, I just, you know, it's just amazing how in a short, you know, year to 18 months, you know, when everyone
how
was
how the pendulum
saying,
has swung.
Yeah, no, Mind Train. No, yeah. You know, that,
and I
that,
love Mind
no.
Train. It's my
right,
that, but, it's my John.
Yeah, yeah.
I love no, that.
I just got a kick out of the, you know, how it kind of, it kind of, how it changes or it goes.
Well, I'm going to look at it as a positive. How about we put it this way? We give Universal a little credit and it pushed Disney to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll look at
I
it
mean,
that way. I mean, Harry Potter Land, not to criticize, it's beautiful. I mean, I haven't heard anybody say a negative thing about it. Everybody that goes there is happy when they see it, except for the crowds. They
right.
do complain about that. And it is, hey, when we move there, Den, I'm going to buy you a butterbeer over there. We'll be going over to get butterbeer together, is my point. But in retrospect, wouldn't you like to say that they actually pushed Disney in a way to do this? Disney,
oh,
I think
yeah.
they punched the bully in the mouth and the bully flipped out, the champion. This contender
yeah.
came up, started giving them lefts and rights, and then all of a sudden he just came out with Toy Story, Star Wars, and Avatar. Deal with that.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's pretty. And actually, one attraction I am, probably the one attraction that will make me go to Universal in the relatively near future is that King Kong attraction. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that.
And me, it's the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. But that King Kong attraction looks like it's going to be pretty awesome.
Oh, it does, but I'm just joking. You know me with my trains. Riding
that's
back
right.
and forth between the two parks. That'll be dog tricka 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 tricka. But no, King
exactly.
Kong looks good. I just got to make sure I do all my stretching.
Right. Let's see. Let's keep going here so we can get through this at some point. Again, nothing that we didn't suspect, but they did announce that Star Tours, I guess, version 3.0 will be coming out at some point in the near future. It'll be called the Adventures Continue, and they're going to add some different endings or different places you can go that will actually marry up with The Force Awakens, which is the new movie or the next Star Wars movie that'll be coming out. So that attraction lends itself to be updated frequently, which is good. And, you know, it seems like, again, I always say it's been a couple of years. Well, it's probably been 5 to 7 years since the refurb or the last refurb.
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 years. Maybe it is longer than it. Just with everything going on, it's like everything wraps around each other. It's like a big spider
right.
web at this point.
Right, right. It's hard to remember, you know, what's what. But yeah, you know, again, in keeping with this Star Wars, you know, adds to Hollywood Studios, Star Tours, which has been there for years and years, will get a kind of a facelift as part of all of this. And I would assume this will happen, well, it will. It'll happen later this year. So this is going to happen relatively soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love that. I love that they keep changing things like this. I love the idea. See, it acts like it's going to be something big, but right now, the way that ride's set up, they have that ride set up just like Toy Story Midway Mania, where they can constantly change things in and out.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of that attraction, and that's why it's, you know, that's why they can do it so easily, and I'm sure that's was part of, you know, the thought process when they designed the whole thing, that it's something they don't have to start jacking out concrete and changing structural features of the show building. It's basically changing out the movie and maybe reprogramming the vehicles there, but other than that, they're done.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to all this, and then you might as well go into, didn't they announce they're going to do a Star Wars Land?
Yeah, I thought I heard something about that. Yeah, I mean, it seems like we've been talking about this for about 2 years or so. But yeah, they announced officially that Star Wars Land is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it's going to feature two signature attractions, including the ability to take the controls of one of the most recognizable ships in the galaxy, the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, I wanted to guess the name of it.
Yeah, and you know it's funny, and the Star Wars people will hate on me for this. The Millennium Falcon could fly by my window right now, and I wouldn't know what it was or what it's called or what it looks like or who drives it. Wouldn't even know.
But I would salute it. I kind of know what it is.
I don't. I really don't. Yeah, and you're going to go on a customized secret mission and an epic Star Wars adventure that puts you in the middle of a climactic battle. So it kind of sounds like Star Tours, but again, the artist rendering is this thing is massive. I guess that's the Millennium Falcon I'm looking at.
It is. It's the main ship of Luke and you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But yeah, I mean, it looks, I mean, the landing pad that it's sitting on is massive. And again, if this building that they're going to build looks anything at all like this, I mean, whether you like Star Wars or not, it's awesome looking.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. The whole artist rendering of that land, and that's what I'm talking about with, like, the Toy Story land, it's pretty much they have the rides named, it's definitely going here, blah, blah, blah. The rendering for Star Wars Land is so detailed and so, like, and everything I've been reading, they're still not 100% approved on what they're going to do there.
Right, right. I think you're right. It's a little more fluid than the Toy Story Land. I totally agree.
Like, Toy Story Land more looks like a blueprint. It's like everything is there. They got everything specifically in spots. Where the rendering for this is there, but there's a lot of things that are vague in it. Like, you can't see every detail of it. And I think that's still a work in progress. So if I was a guessing man, I would honestly believe that Toy Story Land's going to start before Star Wars Land.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you, with the exception of the little ads and the tweak to Star Tours and, you know, stuff like that. But yes, the main land itself, Doug, I agree that that's probably a little further out than Toy Story Land, I would say.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking, too, is like all the detail and all the extra stuff that goes into Avatar Land, Star Wars area kind of reminds you a little bit of that, but more of a stone facade, but it's kind of that kind of detail. Where the Toy Story, the backyard, it'll be, from everything I'm seeing and from what I know from construction and looking at it, the Toy Story Land will be 10 times easier to build than what the Star Wars Land is going to be. There's so much more work involved in the Star Wars Land than the Toy Story. If you started on both the same day, had the same amount of employees, the Toy Story Land should be done in half the time as Star Wars Land.
Yeah. No, I tend to agree with you. It's just the type of world they're creating. I mean, there's more rock work and vegetation and all that stuff in the, Star Wars Land and Avatar. Than Toy Story. I totally agree.
Look at how many acres there is, Dan. There's 11 acres going to be at Toy Story Land. And then another 14 acres for Star Wars Land. That's what they're adding. That's what they're going to be using. That's 25 acres. And then the amount of, I forget what Avatar Land is. I think that's another 14 or 15 acres over there or more.
Yeah, I think you're right, somewhere in and around there. But, yeah, we should mention before we get too far in for our friends that are listening to us out on the West Coast that Star Wars Land is also coming to, Disneyland as well. So this, I don't know that there'll be sister parks, if you will.
Identical, or they're going to each have different attractions.
Right. We don't know that yet, but each coast is getting a Star Wars Land, so it's not just the studios. It'll be, out of Disneyland, California Adventure.
Ain't it quinky-dink that they bought more land across the street? I wonder where that came from. Because basically, what were they going to tear down? There's really nothing left at Disneyland that isn't redone or a classic that they don't want to get rid of. There's really nothing left to get rid of at Disneyland.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit last night, and some people are already, belly aching because some stuff is going to have to go. But again, I've only been to that park a couple of times, and I'm not nearly as familiar with it as Walt Disney World, obviously. So I'm not sure, but there's going to be some beloved attractions that may go away as part of this expansion. But again, I'm not exactly sure which ones they are or even where within the park footprint the new Star Wars land will be. I mean, I know they bought new land, but I think some of the area is going to be the existing park that sits there today.
Yeah, because I was looking at the Disneyland map, and it's like, of all the stuff that's left there, is really because everything's been refurbed, redone, Cars Land, all the new stuff out there, and the Pirates, the Matterhorn, the Haunted Mansion, none of that, you can't take any of that away.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just totally gut out Tomorrowland and just make it Star Wars Land, and that's futuristic, so that would kind of suffice, I guess,
yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, but did you also see that they're going to have a new Star Wars on the Space Mountain there?
No, I missed that. What's that all about?
From what I've seen, they're going to be doing, and this is what I read online, I've seen pictures of it, renderings, and I don't know if they're going to do it at Disney World. I doubt it, but I'm not sure yet. But supposedly, know how they do the Christmas facade on the Haunted Mansion out there in Disneyland?
Right.
There's rumors now that it's going to have they're going to tar a Space Mountain and have it like a Star Wars theme with it.
On the outside?
On
like
the inside. They're going to add effects to the inside of Space Mountain. So I don't know, and that might be leading to what you're saying about Tomorrowland maybe being a little tweaked out there. Maybe they're going to turn that into part of Star Wars, Space Mountain.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, you know, that's an old attraction that, you know, everybody loves. It's one of the, you know, the big mountains, if you will, of, you know, the parks, not just in the States, but, you know, overseas as well. But, you know, if they rethemed it and even kept the, you know, the track the same and everything else, I mean, I don't really have a problem with that.
Yeah, it looks like you're in the spaceship flying, and then other flights are going above you. There's going to be effects and stuff, like you're flying through meteors and all kind of stuff like that. It looked really cool. I just seen the renderings of it. There was a couple pictures of it. But that might lead to where, depending on where that land is bought, it might be behind Tomorrowland, and you might be right. Maybe they get rid of some of the things in Tomorrowland or retheme them to Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, people, not all people, but you hear it quite frequently that, you know, Tomorrowland is a joke, just generally speaking, on either coast, because, and it's hard to do, because as technology catches up, the stuff that's there becomes old and antiquated, and it's not futuristic anymore, so how can it be Tomorrowland? So if you did Star Wars, which, you know, apparently happens way in the future or whatever, it would make sense. I mean, it would be more in keeping with a theme of a land called Tomorrowland.
Well, you know what I'm happy about then? Little quick break
what?
Here. And, hon, two more drinks for us because I'm getting a little porridge with all this talking. Okay, yeah, Dennis, tell her what you'll have. But anyway, the point I'm saying is I'm so happy that all this stuff is going on because it lends me to believe that my Carousel of Progress, your TTA, our Space Mountain and our old Tomorrowland will be staying exactly the way it is, because I don't want mine changing to Disney World.
Right, yeah. I mean, again, we've been wrong before, and we'll be wrong again, I'm sure. But, you know, I can't imagine they're going to do too much with the existing Tomorrowland and Walt Disney World, at least for the next 10 years.
Exactly. Me and you could have TTA fun.
Right. We may have Stitch's Great Escape with us for 10 more years, unfortunately, but that might be a good thing. I still want to go to Disney World and be able to see some things that I've been able to see for the last, you know, 20 years, you know?
Absolutely. I'm just so happy that they put a fresh coat of paint in that whole area. To me, that means, because they changed the paint color, not just touched it up with the original, that's going to be around for quite a while, and I'm happy about that. I'm so glad that Star Wars is going in the studios. Let me keep my Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that is an asset to this whole thing that I didn't even think about. But just to finish up this Star Wars land, as you mentioned, Doug, it's going to be 14 acres on each coast. And I'll just read a little bit of the what Bob Iger said. We are creating a jaw-dropping new world that represents our largest single themed land expansion ever. These new lands at Disneyland and Walt Disney World will transport guests to a whole new Star Wars planet, including an epic Star Wars adventure that puts you in the middle of a climactic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. The lands will have two signature attractions, along with a thrilling battle experience. Another attraction puts guests behind the controls of the Millennium Falcon, which we already mentioned.
Let me drive. Give me the keys, Lisa. Let me drive.
Right. And then, you know, he also went on to share some concept images, which I'm sure anyone that's listening to this show has probably seen. But, I mean, again, I'm not a Star Wars fan, but they look absolutely breathtaking, I have to say.
Yeah, neither one of us are, but me and you're just like with Avatar. It's like, quit the crying. I don't care. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous, and it's going to be fun. And, like, who knew what Astro Orbiter was or Haunted Mansion was or like before we started to enjoy them?
Right, right.
That's my whole point. Jungle Cruise. I mean, all this, to me, Avatar's going to exploration. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I'm going to love the land. I might even become a fan after going in the land. Because then I might want to know a little more. I might geek out and watch one of the Star Wars movies a second time besides the original one.
Right.
I mean, I admit, I've seen the original a few times.
Right,
but
right.
All the other ones one time, and I did it because I needed to stay up. I didn't want to feel like the geek that didn't know about Star Wars.
Right, if it comes up on the job site, you want to be able to at least recognize a character or some reference to the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Natalie Portman was cute, so I wanted to see the new one. I mean, basically, you know what I'm saying? It's like I wanted to see what was going on and see Hayden Christensen as I don't want to give nothing away as Darth Vader.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying. I wanted to keep up with everybody, but it isn't my favorite franchise, but I cannot wait to roam through and get a drink in the cantina.
Right, right. And that's something that they really, although they did make a reference to blue milk, I guess, which they serve in the movie, I guess.
More butter beer and the fused brew.
Right. But, I do remember, I think it was from the original Star Wars movie, that cantina you mentioned where all the aliens are sitting there.
Absolutely.
And what's his face there? The guy that almost died in the plane crash.
Harrison Ford.
Right. They're sitting in the Wookiee there at the bar and all that. So, you know, if you can envision a Trader Sam's style cantina with all, you know, maybe all of that memorabilia in there and different
awesome.
Drinks. Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, even though they didn't announce that, I'll be totally stunned if that doesn't happen.
Absolutely. I'll love to see R2-D2 and C-3PO roam around and check out Chewbacca or and all that. So I'm into it. I can't wait to see it. I'm not a Debbie Downer on any of this. Like, to be honest with you, I'm not a Harry Potter fan, but when I get down there, I'm going to... When I have the time, I will be happy to see the architecture and the buildings, and I like to see hard work come to fruition and see beautiful stuff made. And I'm so looking forward to all three of these lands.
Oh, absolutely. It's something new. It's exciting. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of talking as of late about Disney Springs. And, you know, it's just nice to get some new stuff to talk about that's actually, you know, announced at this point. It's not just speculation, even though pretty much everybody was right on all this stuff. It's nice to know it's quote unquote official.
I wish they'd have did something like made you sign an affidavit where when Avatar came out to say if you're into it or against it. And all the people against it aren't allowed to be there the first few months so we could all get on the rides.
Right.
Because
right.
I've never heard more crying about anything than that. Like, they act like everybody act like they were actually personally paying for it.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a weird phenomenon because, you know, I don't get it. You know, we've talked about this before. I saw Avatar, not at the movies. I bought a DVD or whatever, and I watched it once, and I really, really enjoyed the movie. I mean, it wasn't like when it was over.
Wasn't The
like,
Godfather? Wasn't your all-time favorite? Oh, my God, you got to go see this, but you enjoyed it.
But what I don't get is it was the high, or is, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the highest grossing movie of all time. And when you think of all the movies, throw Star Wars in there or any, you know, Captain America or, you know, even the new Marvel movies. I mean, I don't think of Avatar as that type movie, but the box office says different.
Yeah, because it was groundbreaking. It was different. It was different than anything ever. And the other thing, I think a lot of the kickback and the resistance was is because of Harry Potter. I think everybody was disappointed because Rowling decided to go with Universal because she wanted more control, and they felt like we took Avatar as a back as the you know the second choice. Do you agree with me there?
Oh, I do, and I definitely think that's true. But it may work out in the end where the second choice was the better choice, even though at the time they might not have felt that way. You know, there's still a lot of skepticism out there about this whole commitment to Avatar and the movie and the franchise and the allegedly the other movies that are going to come out. But, you know, Disney may, in the end, as usual, be sitting there saying, eh, we had to figure it out long ago. We knew this would work out this way.
The thing that gets me is if, yeah, if Disney would have got Harry Potter, we'd have all loved it. It would have been they would have did a fantastic job with it. We'd have been more in love. You know, you'd have been drinking butterbeer right now, Dan.
Oh, and it is true because, like you said, we're Disney geeks, and I'm loyal to the Disney brand. And you know, I told this story before. I couldn't stand Starbucks coffee. To me, it's tasted like burnt, nasty coffee.
Now you love it.
as soon as Disney bought it, I just made myself. I started, you know, I switched from Dunkin's to Starbucks because, you know, Starbucks is under the Disney, not under the Disney umbrella, but they're
a family member now. They married into the family.
And now I'm a Starbucks fan, and that's just the way it is. So I tend to agree with you. If Harry Potter had come our way,
you'd have been reading the books.
Yeah, I'd have the whole, you know, the gold edition, all the movies, and, you know, the whole nine yards.
We'd have been seeing pictures of you with the wizard hat on, flying the broom, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
you know, that's the point I'm making. And the thing is, and look what we traded off. Everybody was crying about Avatar Land. So basically, you lost Camp Minnie Mickey. You didn't lose anything else. The Lion King become Harambe Village, which is Harambe Village is better than Camp Minnie Mickey, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get down there and see that.
It's gorgeous, because I got to see it. It was done when I was there. Like, the shops weren't open, but the facade, it was built. Like, I went into the Lion King and the new Lion King and all that stuff. Yeah. It's gorgeous around there. But that was nicer than Camp Minnie Mickey. I mean, Camp Minnie Mickey, what's nice about Harambe Village right now is... it's because we like seeing the Lion King, but didn't it seem like such a long walk back there? Because you're not going to see the characters. Me and Brenda weren't, and your wife and you weren't. But didn't it seem like, oh my God, let's trek back here to see the Lion King?
Right, that long trail to the end of the, you know, to get to the tent, I used to call it, you know, to see the show.
Yeah, now it's in the middle of a whole sprawling town, like a happening place, Harambe Village. You got your shops, your restaurants. It's like in a bustling area now. It's like you're not walking out of the way because it's right there by Kilimanjaro Safari. It's all in the mix there. And I think Lion King fits so much better there than it did in Camp Minnie Mickey.
Yeah, just let me interject right here because you just made me think of it, and I don't have it on my list of things we're going to talk about. They did mention that they are expanding Kilimanjaro Safaris. They're going to open up another savannah, however you say that.
Savannah.
Yeah, they're also getting, what did they say? They're getting, what are those things that were in the Lion King?
Hyenas.
They're going to get hyenas, and there was another animal, I don't remember what it was, that they're going to be bringing. So again, just as a throw-in, when they did the parks and resorts, Kilimanjaro Safaris will be expanding, and they will be getting new animals, you know, at the Animal Kingdom. So that's kind of exciting, too.
And so we're continuing our bar banter here as we jump all over, because that's what we do, because we're knuckleheads, and this is how we do the news, because we're excited like everybody else. I'm never going to be Doug Brokaw. Let's just face that. And you're never going to be Dennis Rather.
Exactly.
But the point is, just think about the Animal Kingdom now, how exciting it is. Not even thinking of the other stuff, but the new lights, the new show, what's it called?
Yeah, they just, I'll quote as best I can Joe Rohde when he talked about it. You're talking about the Rivers
of Light. Rivers of Light, yeah. I couldn't, easy for me
it's
to
gonna,
say.
Yeah, but when he was explaining that, it was kind of funny because he said it kind of reminded me of Illuminations, but I'll tell you why. Because he says it's going to start out very subtle, like a candle, just a light on the water, and it's going to be very serene, and there'll be very soothing music and calming music. And as he was speaking, he said this thing will pick up in intensity, and there'll be spraying water and lasers and music and smoke and projections and animals being projected. And by the time he was done, he was so excited he couldn't even kind of finish what he was saying. So this Rivers of Light at the Animal Kingdom, I think, is going to be probably the
crowning
number
jewel
one
of the day.
Show.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, the, as they say at Disney, the kiss goodnight. Yep. For all the you know, the fireworks or whatever at each of the parks. But again, it didn't really tell us anything more than we haven't heard already, but it just sounded, he made it sound so exciting. I can't wait to see
it. Well, the whole viewing area there around the river, it's just, it looks gorgeous. I mean, everything they're doing. And so basically, like I was saying earlier, so we traded in Camp Minnie Mickey for a whole new Harambe Village, a brand new Lion King theater, which I think is better than the original one because it's cooler in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we get all of Avatar Land, all Pandora, because we gave up two little camps where you can meet Minnie and Mickey Mouse. I mean, and everybody right. was crying and complaining. Like, everybody that was on the boards and stuff like that screaming about Avatar and Lion and all that stuff, they act like they were being charged for it.
Right. Oh, they will be, but I know what you mean.
Well, we're going to be – the way I look at this, Dan, is really we're not, in my opinion, because the prices are going to go up regardless if they did anything or not.
Right.
So at least
right.
they're doing something.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and again, I mean, you can like it or not like it or whatever, but I mean, I'm a firm believer. You got to at least experience it first before you say you hate something or, you know, you're going to say you're going to refuse to go in there. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
Well, the point is of all the stuff in, like, Fantasyland and Toy, there's so many things that we never knew about until we discovered them at Disney. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't, the Pirates of the Caribbean, I wouldn't even thought twice about even trying to see some of it if it wasn't for the real pirates, and it's hard for me to watch because of Johnny. And by the way, did you see him?
Yeah, he made a couple of appearances over the weekend.
Johnny looks like he's eating a little bit too much pasta lately, don't he?
Yeah, well, he's getting up there, and yeah, it does look like he put on a few.
Now, is he American or is he British or French? I don't understand with that accent. I mean, was he not born and raised in America? I mean, I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm pretty sure he's from, I think, Mississippi originally. That's where he was born anyways.
Wherever he's from, but apparently he thinks he's from Britain or, well, I don't know what that accent is of his.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. But, yeah, he did get his Disney Legends award. And regardless of what you might think of his politics or what his views are on world views, I should say, he certainly deserves it for, if only his work on the Pirates franchise, let alone Alice in Wonderland and all the other great, you know, roles he's played in Disney films the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, he just, he bothers me. But I root for him. I love the franchise. He just bothers me. And you guys could send all your emails to me you want. You can go over and yell at me on our Twitter page. I don't care. He just bothers me.
Right.
Anybody who says he don't want to raise his kids here bothers me. But let's move on.
Yeah, so we'll kind of jump around here and kind of a new way for you to better spend or more easily spend your money on Disney stuff. Disney Parks just released over the weekend, I believe, a Shop Disney Parks app, which is available in the Apple Store. If you
download it right now.
Yeah, I downloaded it yesterday, and it is pretty cool. You can basically search by, you know, Vinylmation or Dooney Bags or pick a thing, you know, whatever you might want in the parks.
T-shirts, baby. T-shirts, hats.
Anything.
You know me, hats and shirts.
Yeah, and you literally put it in your basket, and you can pay through, I think, PayPal, credit card, or whatever. You set it all up, and you can shop at the Emporium, I guess, and you know, mouse gear or whatever merchandise is being sold at the Disney parks. You can get through this app now, and I did hear some talk about this, that, you know, there'll obviously be exclusive merchandise that might be only available through the app. But again, those that you know, shop or buy a lot of Disney products or whatever, this would be a pretty cool thing to have.
Yeah, shop Disney parks. I just put it in my app, and I'm going to go buy myself a new Disney t-shirt.
Yeah, well, and the other thing that I think is a good thing is this should curtail some of the eBayers that run out to the parks when all this unique or special merchandise is released, whether it be pins or vinyl mation or a limited edition Dooney bag or whatever. You have these people that are locals down there, and they'll go buy as much as they can get their hands on, so it's then sold out, and then mark it up 2 or 3 times and sell it on eBay. This way, with this app, when this stuff is released, it should give everyone a fair shot to purchase this stuff and, not have to physically be there to do it. So I like the fact that this kind of, gives a shot to those people, because that's greedy, in my opinion.
Well,
when
I hope you're right, because I hope this same knucklehead don't get on his computer at 12 a.m. and buy them all that way.
Yeah, well, they usually have limits. Usually when there's limited edition stuff, or at least the way like the Disney store and stuff, they'll say 2 per guest or whatever. So, you can't buy, if there's only 50, you can't buy 50. But, there'll always be a way around stuff. And I'm sure you could open up, 10 different accounts or something and somehow get around it. But it'll just put a little wrinkle in it so that the real fans that actually want this merchandise and, just want one to have in their collection will be able to do it at a, relatively affordable price as Disney prices go. But, myself having, collected pins and vinyl mation, I've seen this time and time again that, limited edition 1,000 or something would come out and it sells out within 10 minutes. They're gone. But then you go on eBay, and if you want to pay 4, 5, 6 times the cost of what the item originally sold for, you can get all that you want. And it's the same 12 people you always see that are listing these things. And like I said, that's what they're doing, just buying all the product out.
Know what I hope they eventually do? And this is just me predicting. This is me being the clairvoyant, because I've had enough today. No, what would be really cool if this app turned into where you could go to particular shops in the park? Like if I wanted to go into Mouse Gears, I could just go through Mouse Gears, like pick that store and just roam through their inventory.
Yeah, I mean, I did download it, and I only played around with it for like less than 5 minutes. But I don't think they're going to have it by store, but I'm pretty sure if they're selling a coffee mug in the Emporium on Main Street, USA, you're going to be able to buy that mug as long as there's quantity available. So that's the whole point of this, the Disney Parks app, that you're going to be able to get the merchandise, not just select things, but it's going to be as if you were in the Emporium, not physically, obviously.
But my geeking out point is it would be cool, like, if you have it eventually where it has the map of the park and you could click the store and it's basically like you're shopping at that store.
Right.
I'm not saying it has to be your walk and throw it, but it would just be you're geeked enough out where let me go into Mouse Gears or let me go in the Emporium or let me go in the old Christmas shop and just this way it's just the inventory that's in there.
Right.
I think it would be fun. It would be geeky for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at all the ways you can spend your disposable income that you don't have because you're saving for a Disney trip, right?
Exactly. But it would be just fun. It would be what it would be like virtual reality shopping. Like, it would be cool to see.
Yeah.
Like, know how you have Google Maps and you could see the stores and you got the regular park map. It would be cool, like, if you could just, like, you click the map to go to the rides. You click the map as you're doing your My Disney experience. It would be cool to have where you're just going into that store. Just me geeking out, man, trying to make it, when I'm away from the place, me a little bit closer.
Right. It's just like years ago when, what was it? Was it Google Maps or World Google,
Google Maps.
It was? But remember the first time, like, you were able to see an aerial view of the Magic Kingdom?
I still do it.
Yeah, it just still, and you can click down and get it, as close as you can get it. That still blew me away when I saw that, and it's pretty cool.
Dude, I still do that once a month or once every couple months on my iPad.
Right.
It's just cool to see Epcot, and I'll go down and see the roofs, because me being, again, the construction geek, I like to see things that I haven't seen before, and seeing the roofs of all the different rides. I even tried to go on to see if I could see anything new from the satellite picture of what's going on over at your favorite ride at Maelstrom. Or or to see what's going on at Avatar Land. Right. If you get the updated Google map, you'll see where the construction has changed.
Right.
It's just geeking out, man. Geeking out over here.
The world we live
in
today.
It's a world of laughter. Oh, am I singing again? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I know. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had the voice of a crocodile.
Moving right along here, Skipper Canteen coming to the Adventureland Veranda at the Magic Kingdom. So we now have a name for the restaurant that's under construction, I guess, over there in Adventureland. Jungle Navigation Company, Skipper Canteen is the Magic Kingdom's newest restaurant experience. And they have kind of an artist rendering up here, which... It's an animated sketch, but it kind of Pecos Bill's-ish, wouldn't you say? Kind of the same?
Yeah, and it looks like the two people standing out front going to have the same garb on as the Jungle Cruise.
Skippers,
Skippers. You know, they're going to have the same outfits and all. I don't know, is it going to be sit-down or a counter service?
Yeah, it says it'll allow guests to experience the world-famous Jungle Cruise in one of several unique dining rooms, including a crew mess hall and a once-hidden secret meeting room of the famed Society of Explorers. That sounds like the Adventurers Club.
Absolutely. We said this before, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, I think. The restaurant will also be staffed by Jungle Cruise skippers, so expect their own unique brand of humor, blah, blah, blah. Both lunch and dinner table service will be inspired by the flavors of Africa, Asia, and South America.
Oh, cool. It's sit-down.
And this is, it says it's opening late 2015, so this is going to be open fairly soon.
I see brick walls and metal studs. I mean, they're going to be moving, man.
Right.
They better get moving on this. I thought originally it was going to be more like Be Our Guest, where it would be counter service up till dinner, like breakfast and lunch. You follow me?
Right.
I didn't know how it was going to be, but it sounds like it's going to be a full sit-down. I'm in.
Yeah. God knows the Magic Kingdom needs that, so any ad of a sit-down dining location is good in my book.
So let me see. If we hold the draft, we can do round 5 in a couple weeks. And then if we wait to round 6, I could possibly get this new restaurant, and I could also get the new River of Lights.
Yeah,
I might have to cancel that out until I get the River of Lights then. The draft will be the last pick of the Walt Disney, all in WDWD Main Street draft will be held right after River's Lights is open.
There you go.
So I should have the last pick for that round.
Yeah. Good planning.
Yes, I should, because I picked first in the fourth. So I'll have the last pick. I'll hold off until that's open.
There you go. So. Yeah, and again, dribs and drabs, food and wine, which we covered extensively a couple of shows ago. The booths are starting to be put up, and signage and all kinds of stuff is going up, and that gets underway next month. So they're well underway with getting World Showcase kind of decked out for that stuff.
It's crazy that it's the first time I think food and wine's ever been put on the back burner.
Yeah, and we kind of covered that with Bob, that I think as the years have gone on, the uniqueness is somewhat worn off. It's not not the big extravaganza, that it used to be. Or it is for me, but I think just generally speaking. But
everybody still shows up, but it's more of the norm now. It isn't that, I don't think it is that it lost any of its popularity. I just think now we know it's always going to be there. For a while, you didn't definitely know it was going to be there next year.
Right. It doesn't have a special feel anymore because it's expected, I guess.
It's just like Christmas. Yeah, you're looking forward to Christmas time at Walt Disney World, but you know they're going to do something. And you know food and wine's going to be here every year now. And I also think that all these announcements kind of put it in the back burner.
Right. Yeah, on this, particularly this year with a D23 event, as we're covering, you're right. There's just much more news and information out there that kind of overshadows some of the existing stuff that's going on. So I agree with that.
I'm also happy to see, I'm going to steal another piece of your news.
Okay.
One of my another railroad's being refurbished.
Which one is that?
Did you see the Germany railroad's going to go through an extensive refurbishment?
Yeah, I kind of chuckled at that.
I love
I
that,
mean,
dude. I mean, do you know how many times I've seen the lizards riding on that train? It's so cool.
I don't know. I think it's kind of hokey. I mean, it's cool, I
Bah,
guess, but
humbug.
for a multi-billion-dollar theme park, it's a model railroad. I don't know. I just don't get it. But that's
It
me.
fits in with the it's tradition. They like the railroads over there. I mean, it fits in with it. It's just cool. How many time every trip I just stand there and look at it. It's cool to look at. It's relaxing. What's the difference between Japan having the tea area or to China, or what about the? I mean, if you want to look at that, is why does Canada have that chalet sitting out there all by itself when we can't get in it?
Yeah, I guess every country has its little thing out
Yeah,
there,
like Italy
whatever.
has the statues. I mean, I get what you're saying, but the railroad's cool. At least it works. And know what I'm amazed at? Nobody ruins it. Like that, I've never seen a kid hop that fence and go grab the train. That was really amazes me that nobody is. I never seen it ruined. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I'll guarantee you it's happened.
Yeah, I mean, but aren't you shocked that like if it was in New Jersey Park, if that was a Great Adventure, it would have cans of soda in there. They'd have straws thrown on the track. You'd have French fries. People, am I wrong? Isn't it amazing how everybody respects that train?
No, I got to agree with that. That is true. That it, just kind of sits there, and you can kind of, stare at it and get away and make believe you're in that little world that it creates there.
It's just cool. It's just something. It's a conversation piece. Like me and Brenda always stop, and I look at it. I don't stand there for hours, but 5, 10 minutes. I watch it go by. We look for the little lizards, because those miniature lizards. It always seems like one's on the train. It'll hop on the train, especially when they're stopped, because they'll stop it every once in a while. But I am amazed though that I never see food, French fries, funnel cake, any pretzels.
Cigarette
Yeah,
butts.
it's amazing that nobody messes with it. Somebody always has that bratty kid that wants to grab, like in Toy Story, you always have the kids that want to smash the toys. I'm just shocked that nobody ever takes that out.
Well, like I said, I'm sure it's happened, or somebody that's had a little too much beer or whatever has jumped over there or done something, but just didn't happen to happen while you were there.
Oh, we better not happen on my watch. I'll be ripping them out of there. Stay away from my train.
Let's see here. A little bit of movie news here. I mean, they did announce kind of the slate of movies from the Disney Studios and Pixar Studios over the next couple of years, and we're gonna get a Jungle Book movie. Pixar's coming out with The Good Dinosaur, which I think there's already a trailer out for that. That's coming out fairly soon. Obviously, you have the Star Wars movie that's coming out this winter. What's that? The Force Awakens, I believe. A little bit more news on Finding Dory, which is,
Can't wait.
that one should be pretty good. You got Captain America 3 coming out, Alice in Wonderland 2, and then they have just Marvel slated in, let's see, 7, 8, 16, unnamed. They don't know what it's going to be yet. So that's a kind of a look at the movies on the horizon for both the Disney Studios and Pixar
And we
Studios.
will, and you mentioned we mentioned earlier Toy Story 4. I cannot wait for that.
What are they? What did what's his face? Lasseter said that it's going to be a love story between Woody and Bo.
Who's
Bo
Bo?
Peep. Bo
Oh,
Peep.
little Bo Peep. Okay, that's you lost me there for a minute. I'm like, I just didn't see that coming. But now that you said Bo Peep, I see it. I'm like, Bo, what's it going to be, a new character?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they shared on the movie front,
I
anyways.
just hope it don't make me cry like the last one. I was a big sissy during the last one. I think everybody got choked up at three.
That was pretty emotional. And like I said, and again, I know you're going to get on me for this, and others will too. It somewhat disappoints me, but it's the world we live in today. That I just remember when Eisner still was running Disney, and before the Disney company bought Pixar and all this. And I could remember John Lasseter like it was yesterday. We don't do sequels. We are Pixar. We do one and done films that blow you out of the water, and we move on and do something different, like Walt Disney used to do. What was that saying? You can't top pigs with pigs, he used to say. That was one of Walt's sayings, which was a way to say you did something once, move on. It just disappoints me. And even though the movies are good and they're beloved characters, and I get it, people love it, they can tell a good story, they're popular, I get all that, but I'm kind of disappointed that Pixar is turning into Cars 2, Cars 3, I don't know. Myself, I wish they'd move on and do something different.
Well, they do. They usually do something new, a sequel, like, because now you got the Inside Out that's out, that's really good. They had Up. They've done different things. It's just, sometimes when you love something so much, I mean, the story is just never ending. I mean, there's certain things where you continue to tell and there don't have to be an end to it.
No, I agree. I recognize that, and I understand why they do it, because they're money makers. I mean, and, you know,
I want to see them. I mean, Walt was a genius, but Walt could also admit when he was wrong, and I think Walt would have been behind Lasseter with Pixar, with going with Toy Story. Yeah, I mean,
I think that's a stretch.
No, I really do. I mean, I think Lasseter is more like Walt than anybody else because of his vision and the way he sees things and the way he cares about everything being right. I mean, they don't just... I would agree with you if they put these movies out and they were junk. But the amount of work that goes into them and how awesome the story is, they don't... A lot of these franchises will just live off what the original was. The Pixar stories, every one of them... I will argue that Toy Story 3 was better than Toy Story 1. It's the only franchises in Pixar that each one gets better.
Right.
That's my argument. I would agree with you if the other ones were junk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trashing them or saying them.
No,
they're
I
bad
hear you.
Movies that they're not.
We've
I
had
just,
a few, Dan. We got to go back and forth a little bit. Yeah, I'm kidding with you, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, but it's just a change in philosophy with Lasseter himself, because, like I said, he was vehemently against that. That, you know, again, this was before Disney owned them, and, you know, things might have changed for other reasons as well, mm-hmm. because it's all about the money. You know, it's just like pirates, you know, that's not your... I mean, I know you like pirates, but you don't care for the lead actor in that franchise. They keep cranking them movies out, and, you know, as much as I like them movies, I got a little bit of pirates fatigue. Mm-hmm. I mean, when is enough enough? I mean, I do. I enjoy the movies, and when the next one comes out, which they did announce that I didn't mention, there is Dead Men Tell No Tales, I believe, is the name of the movie. It's not out for a couple of years yet, but they're making another one of those. Is enough enough? I mean, I don't know. It's just my opinion. That's all.
And I don't think they have gotten better throughout. I will, like I said, with the Toy Story, it's kind of like Harry Potter. K.J. Rowling, she needed 5 books, wasn't it? Isn't there 4 or 5 to tell the story?
Couldn't tell.
Just like, you know, there's certain things that take more than an hour to tell the story. And I think Toy Story showed you him growing up, the whole 9 yards. And I think there's different ways to go to tell. I really enjoy that. But I said, there's certain movies where they'll just live off the original and keep milking money out of it. And I don't think it's right either. I agree with you. If they were getting worse, I wouldn't want them.
I mean, eventually they will. I mean, again, I'm sure you've seen all the Pirates movies, but and I can't remember which one, but there was one or two in the middle there where they were very confusing and the plot line was kind of hazy and you're kind of like, what the heck's going on here? And it lost its charm from the, you know, the first one, which was, you know, the blockbuster there. But, you know, I agree with you. I don't think they've gotten better. I mean, they're good. I enjoy them. And like I said, I'll watch any that they make in the future. But, you know, at some point, it gets to be a money grab.
Exactly. It's kind of like Rocky. Rocky was good the first couple. Then it got old. After Apollo was no longer with us, it wasn't good no more.
Right.
You understand? But the point is, they went too far. I will agree with you. If Toy Story started to lack, I'll be the first one to complain. You know, I don't drink the Kool-Aid all the time. I pee and moan myself over here.
Right.
But the Toy Stories, I have to admit, I thought 3 was much better than 1. Cars 2 was okay. Cars original blew Cars 2 away, so if they don't do another Cars, it wouldn't bother me.
Right.
But the Toy Story is awesome. What's that?
I think they are doing a Cars 3.
Yeah, well,
for sure.
It can't be worse than 2. I enjoyed 2, but most people didn't. Yeah, but it wasn't as good as 1.
Right.
So.
Well, as a rule, you know, the original usually is always better in most cases.
And The Godfather also. Godfather 2 is better than the original.
I don't know about that.
You know how everybody confuses the two. 2 is the one where you go back and see Don Corleone as a kid.
Right.
Is the one
that
has Robert De Niro in it. That's 2.
Right. Yeah.
But everybody thinks that's 1. Number 2 is the best when Michael takes over.
Right, because it's out of sequence, I know.
Yeah, so everybody I talk to will say, Godfather 1 is better than 2. And I'm like, no. And then when you explain, oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
But everybody confuses him, too, because actually you could.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, in the beginning of that, he goes to the flashback as him as a kid. And how he made the family and with his wife. And, you know, everybody respected him. And you would really think that that's 1, but it's not.
Exactly. Because it's a flashback, basically.
Exactly. But the two of them are, they're both awesome. Now, 3 is another story.
Yeah, that was, that never should have been made. But
no, I watched
it
because you seen the other two and you were hoping and praying, but it was nowhere near as good.
Right. And just looping back to Pirates, Orlando Bloom will be returning in his role as Will Turner. So that's a twist that I think that probably will help the movie somewhat because he's been absent for 2 or 3 of the last movies. So his character will be coming back in Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Absolutely. He's very much missed in the two that he wasn't in, I think, weren't that good.
right. So. No, I think it was a good contrast with Depp and him, and when it was Keira Knightley there. Yeah. I don't think she's coming back, but they had a good screen presence for sure.
No, but it's so exciting about everything coming up, and I'm looking forward to the Disney World is going to be an ever change, more changes in the next 10 years I think there's ever been.
Oh yeah, I mean Iger said it. I mean
it's ridiculous.
Unprecedented expansions in the theme parks, and you know, I won't not boy. I mean, we do have some overseas listeners and some folks that have probably traveled to, you know, Tokyo and Disney Seas, and you know, unfortunately, Iron Man, the attraction, I forget which park it's going in, but that's coming to some of the overseas parks, and there's a lot of cool attractions and stuff that are happening not in the U.S., which is shameful in a way.
I was hoping for a Marvel Land, but because of all the junk with Universal, I think that's what's holding that back.
Right. Oh, it'll happen someday. It's just, you know.
Hopefully in our lifetime, Dan. We're getting up there, buddy.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's another franchise that, you know, they keep cranking out the Iron Man movies. And I know, what's his name? Downey Jr. there, who plays Iron Man. I know, I believe he's quoted as saying this is the last one he's doing. So it'll be interesting to see how far they push, you know, Marvel pushes out. What did I see? Is it Doctor Strange or something? Yeah, we didn't even mention the Marvel slate either. I forget. Well, we did with the Captain America movie. But yeah, there's a couple more Marvel-related movies that'll be coming out as well. But again, how many more Avengers are they going to make? Or how many more, you know, when is that going to end?
That'll never end then, because that's kind of one of those deals where that's been going on since we've been little kids, man. They're comic books. There's always another villain out in the outer space to fight. I mean, it's just how it's going to be. I mean, that's one of those things where, I mean, do you want to have a world with no Superman, Batman, Iron Man? I mean, basically, it's what all the kids grow up dreaming of. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it has to be.
Yeah, at some point, though, when the actor doesn't want to, you know, reprise the role
or whatever.
You move on.
There's been 5 Batman.
Yeah,
there's always another Johnny Depp. And there's always another... I love him in Iron Man, but there's always another Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, his son, whoever that might be.
Exactly,
right?
But the point is these Marvel, these superhero characters have been going on like princesses. I mean, is there never going to be another princess? There's always going to be a princess movie or a show, or even though, like you said, they don't change. But I mean, Disney has, 30 princesses now? They'll create a new one. You got the Princess and the Frog. You got Ariel. You got the Little Mermaid. I mean, they're all princesses. They'll just keep... It's basically the same franchise as what Marvel is. It's just princesses.
Oh, and I love the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I never read the comic books or followed it, but just the movies themselves are fantastic.
I love
Thor and all that.
Absolutely. I love sitting in here cranking up the surround sound and just, my wife is, how do you deal with it? I have the room shaking.
Right.
Just an hour and a half of fun. Yeah, out of reality. Quit thinking about the bills and the work and the jobs and the, you know, you're just into Thor coming down with that hammer and banging in the ground and your whole room shakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool stuff. You know, I'm looking forward to that. But I think eventually that now that they didn't integrate any of the Marvel into the parks yet, I truly believe down the road, once all this ends with Universal, I think Marvel might be the fifth gate because there's enough there to do that.
Oh, yeah, there's enough material, enough characters, you know, potential attractions and all that, that it could definitely carry a theme park of its own.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going to go because I don't think a land is enough for that.
Right.
I really don't. No, so, I mean, hopefully that's down the road and we get to see. I mean, I'm hoping and praying because I would love to see. I want to see the Marvel Universe in Disney World.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So we gabbed enough. We bar bannered about all this news going on. I mean, we don't have nothing else because we knew the news was so long this week. We just figured we'd give you our dumb input.
Right, right.
You know, the knowledge that you get from us, take it as you will. It was free.
Yeah, just kind of a snapshot of what we thought of the weekend's announcements. And we're recording this on Sunday, so who knows? There could be a surprise or two that comes out later today that we'll talk about either midweek or on next week's show. But I think the majority of the major news coming out of this year's D23 event is out and open for discussion.
Oh, I'm super excited, man. Between all that, I mean, now Disney Springs is in the background and there's still so much still going on there.
Did you see all the signs have changed out on Route 4 there, and everything is no longer downtown Disney. All the purple signs,
it's awesome.
And all the signs, it's all Disney Springs now. So looks like that official name change that we mentioned, I think, last week is going to happen. What did I say? I think it was October 1st they had touted as a date where it's officially going to be christened as Disney Springs.
I can't wait. I can't wait to be down there. So you have all that. I mean, you have the new DVC everywhere. I mean, hotels, there's plans for that all other store area out on the west side. I mean, there's so much going on. It's overwhelming in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. And like I think you said on the last show, I mean, we are just going to have to get accustomed to construction walls and all that stuff, because for the foreseeable future, you are not going to be able to go to Walt Disney World without seeing massive amounts of them. And it's just the way it is. It's progress, and it's what we have to kind of withstand in order to get on the other side for all this neat stuff to actually open up.
Well, just think, man, if we I get to see, if God willing, I'm here for my 60th birthday at Disney World, hopefully all that stuff will be done. Could you imagine all that going, like when it's all complete, how crazy it's going to be down there?
Yeah, and, you know, but again, time marches on and things change, and by the time we get to the point where all that's opening,
what
and,
else
you
is
know,
coming?
Right, it's going to be, gee, you know, nothing's been done over at Epcot. You know, there'll be some other big project that'll be going on. So, I mean, it's just...
Walt said it would never end.
Yeah, and it isn't going to, and us as Disney fans are the better for it because we got all this new cool stuff to look forward to.
I never thought there'd be a time at Disney World that would be make the Iger era look... I mean, not the Eisner era looks... like compete with it, because what he did, he built a whole park plus all the hotels. He did a major. People need to applaud what he did to Disney World. I mean, people, there's some bad things that people say about him and stuff like that, but I think since him, Iger's been the best president. I mean, there's things are actually shaping up the way Eisner dreamed of them, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, not to get on a rant about this, but I mean, when Iger took over, there were very low expectations. He was Eisner's number two, and people thought that, you know, the same would just carry on, like, you know, Eisner, I agree with you, did a lot of great things with the MGM studios and all the hotels, and he saw that, had the foresight to know that they needed, you know, more hotels down there and stuff. But you know, towards the end, he had that standoff with Pixar. He didn't want to pay, you know, X amount of billions of dollars, whatever it was at the time. And that was one of the first things that Iger did when he took over, which, as it turns
made
out,
nice.
Was I mean, that was a great move, even though it was $6 billion or whatever it was at the time. But, you know, Iger has taken the company to new heights, and stock prices have never been higher. And, you know, again, now, the other side of that coin is some would say that Eisner was more in creating things in-house, where Iger, although you got to give him credit, he's just bought a whole bunch of stuff. And again, not that that's a small feat or it's insignificant, but, you know, where Eisner did some more creation from within the company, I think Iger has just cherry-picked all the big franchises that he wanted under the Disney umbrella and just bottom, basically.
Yeah, but I think, and I agree with that, but I think Star Wars was actually in the Disney making forever, if you want to look at it that way, because them and Lucas were hand in hand with each other. If anybody was going to get it, it was going to be Disney, and I think more Star Wars came about because Lucas just didn't wanted to move on.
Yeah, he's basically wants to retire or whatever. Yeah, but there was some contention over the years.
No,
because
I hear
they,
you.
You know, Lucas wouldn't allow them to do this or do that, and it was a very, obviously, very limited presence in the studios.
But my point is, I think Disney would have bought Star Wars many, many moons ago if Lucas would have allowed them. I don't think he was ready for it to be taken under Eisner's era or whatever. He still was in the midst of wanting to keep his games going, his Lucas games and that whole electronics deal and all that stuff going. So I think Disney would have bought that regardless. I think that was a part of the Disney family all along, but it wasn't in name. And the thing with Pixar, yeah, Eisner was stupid, but I think Disney was one of the reasons, biggest things behind Pixar. So I consider them two should have always been together.
Right.
Now the Star Wars, now the Marvel thing, that came out of nowhere, and that was awesome. I'm happy he did it, but that was kind of a little cherry pick, but I'm glad we did pick that cherry.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, eventually Disney will pretty much own every popular franchise that's out there, less Harry Potter.
Yeah, I hear you, but then you could also say he did redo Fantasyland and a lot of the movies with Big Hero 6, Up. I mean, there's a lot of Disney movies that are not Up with Pixar, but you know what I'm saying. Disney has started to do Disney originals again that they've created.
Well,
you know, the whole
Frozen,
the Cinderella. So they've also, you got to give him credit, there's some major franchise that he's redone, redoing California Adventure and making that a real park.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done a lot of new things on his own, too, that would probably be equivalent to what everybody else did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's been unprecedented. Oh, absolutely. He's done a tremendous job. I'm not being critical in any way. I'm just saying it's just a different style, and it's a different world today than it was 25, 30 years ago, or, you know, however long ago Eisner was running the show.
Yep, but that's going to be it. We got to stop bellowing, Dennis. People don't want to hear us yell and scream no more. But you're buying this week. I bought last week for three of us.
Okay. All
right. It all comes out of the same kitty anyway. So.
Right, the empty one.
Yes. But it's been fun. Guys, please go over to iTunes and give us a review. We got one last week from Don Corleone, which we really appreciate. That was funny. And our other buddy Pat left us a nice review. So if you could, please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. If you enjoy the show, that's how you could pay us back. We really, really appreciate all your reviews over there. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, the whole nine yards. You can, you know, correspond back and forth with us on Twitter at WDW Main Street. And you got anything else, Dan?
No, that's going to do it. I'm D23'd out and theme parked out for today.
All right, we'll yak tomorrow about it.
Okay.
All right, buddy. You have a great week, and we will talk to you real soon.
See ya.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.